Welcome to another episode of Journey from Grief to Healing. I'm Dr. Ray Calabrese. Yesterday, I had lunch with my neighbor. I'll call him Pete. He's a widower like me. He lives just a block away, and on my evening walks, I often see him sitting in front of his garage. We usually exchange pleasantries, short, friendly words, and then I continue on my way. Pete's wife died just a few months after my wife passed. That was 9 years ago. 9 years, and yet Pete is still in the early stages of grieving. Now, this is just my observation, but I think part of his struggle has to do with who he was before his loss. Pete is a retired military officer. During his service, when Pete gave an order, people followed it, no questions. That was the world he lived in, a world of command, structure, and control. At home, after retiring, the structure continued in a different form. His wife handled the daily logistics of life, cooking, cleaning, shopping, budgeting. Pete just didn't lose the love of his life. He lost the one who kept his world running. And he'll admit it. He's lost, he told me. I don't want to touch her stuff. I'm not sure she'd want me to. Over lunch, I gently suggested a few things that had helped me. A grieving group, small ways to reconnect, a simple library visit. I said, try it. Being around people, even silently, can be better than sitting at home watching cable news. Pete shrugged. Then he said something that stuck with me, word for word. I know I should be doing that, but I can't. I asked him why. I just don't have the discipline to stay with it, he said. I bought myself a bike to ride around the neighborhood. I rode it once. It's been sitting in my garage ever since. Pete's story isn't unusual. I've met others who grieve the same way. They know what they need to do, but they don't have the strength, the will, or the energy to take the first step. And that's the heart of the problem for those of us who walk through grief and want to help others. We can offer advice, presence, and even our time, but nothing will change until the grieving person decides they're ready. Sometimes people have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired before they're willing to do the hard work of healing. Pete's words reminded me of something from a very different world, sports psychology. One of the most respected sports psychologists in the world is Bill Bestwick. He worked with elite athletes across Europe and the U.S., helping them break through the mental walls and perform under pressure. When Bestwick begins working with someone, he starts by asking three important questions. What do you want? How badly do you want it? How much are you willing to suffer to get it? Now, when he says suffer, he doesn't mean unnecessary pain. He means effort, focus, work, delayed gratification, choosing to show up even when it's hard. When I think about Pete and others who are grieving, I wonder how they'd answer those questions. Pete says he wants to move forward. I believe him. But he also wants someone else to do the work, the heavy lifting. He wants his kids to handle it. He wants others to have compassion and carry his grief. And that's understandable. But ultimately, healing has to come from within. It's not easy to watch a friend suffer. It's not easy to know they can get better if they're willing, but that they're not there yet. So we wait. We listen. And when the day comes that they say, point the way, I'm ready, we walk beside them. Maybe you're like Pete. Maybe you lost someone you love and the pain is still fresh, days, months, or years later. You're exhausted just trying to make it from one day to the next. Here's the truth. It won't get better until you want it to get better. But wanting isn't enough. Healing doesn't happen the moment you decide you want to be better. Life tests us, just like Bill Bestwick's athletes. How badly do you want to feel alive again? What are you willing to do to get there? The good news? You don't need to sprint. You just need to move. In spite of the pain, we must choose to live. Even the smallest action says to our heart, I'm not done. It could be making the bed, taking a walk, visiting church, going to the gym, joining a support group, something, anything. The worst thing we can do is isolate and feed our grief with sorrow, regret, alcohol, or mind-numbing routines. Looking at photos or watching videos of our loved one, if it brings tears and holds us down, we may not be ready yet. There will come a time when those same images will make us smile again. You'll know when. I know I did. And that day will be beautiful. I want to close with a verse by John Fletcher, an English poet from centuries ago, who still speaks to the heart of sorrow today. His poem is called Weep No More. Weep no more, nor sigh, nor groan. Sorrow calls no time that's gone. Violets pluck the sweetest rain, makes not fresh nor grow again. Trim thy locks, look cheerfully. Fate's hid ends eyes cannot see. Joy as winged dreams fly fast. Why should sadness longer last? Grief is but a wound to woe. Gentlest fear, mourn, mourn no more. If you're struggling today, hold on. If you feel like you can't take another step, take one anyway. It doesn't need to be giant. It just needs to be yours, a single step. You are not finished. You are not alone. Never quit. Never give up. If you like this podcast, please share it with a friend who walks with us on our grieving journey. Have a great day and stay strong. Never quit.